Soycles. United States is for Fig Newton. It was named after Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I haven't had a Fig Newton in a really long time.
It's because they're bad cookies.
Man, you're really downing on a lot of things that I like this morning. Jeez, don't yuck my yum.
Don't what?
Don't yuck my yum.
Got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We've got Greg Bach on the board today. And I'm very excited for our guest at 11:30. You actually booked this guest.
Heck yeah, I did.
You know that today is actually considered the slowest day of sports all year long.
Why is that?
I don't know, but so it's the day after the MLB All-Star game, and basically none of the big four North American leagues have any competitive games. There's no NBA, there's no NFL, there's no MLB, no NHL. There is Wimbledon.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I saw you ooh, itching to get that
up. Issue.
In general, this is considered a slow sports day, but we're still gonna talk about sports because Milwaukee Pro Soccer is coming.
Yes, it is.
So we have Colin Kaloya, said that right? Kaloya, who is the chief operating officer for Milwaukee Pro Soccer. He'll be here at 11:30 to talk about what it takes to create a team from scratch, basically, because that is what's happening in Milwaukee. They're finding a name, they're building a stadium, and so we're very excited about it.
I've definitely voted many times for the names.
Do you have are you going to tell him what your favorite name is?
Absolutely, I'm going to. Tune in at 11:33 for more information.
But also, if you have questions for him, for Colin, as far as what the team is going to... Connor, sorry. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here for you.
For Connor, 844-967-2789. Shoot us a text or give us a call during the segment to talk about pro soccer coming to Milwaukee. But for right now, I want to talk about this Jonah Hill thing. And it's, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I debated whether or not to even bring this up on the show for multiple reasons. One, I feel like we don't typically get into like celebrity gossip BS on this show because mostly I don't really care. You know, like as the tit for tat zeitgeist of like pop culture stuff that is very online, I don't always, you know, find it that interesting. But also, I think sometimes the audience that is listening to us live versus podcasts versus people who are very habitually online on TikToks and Twitters and such, not always having the best feel of like, what is the crossover there? So like, is anyone else going to find this interesting? But I'll give some background on it. But this is bubbled up because I feel like I personally have experienced the other side of this. So I care less about, like, this is a lot of dirty laundry that you can debate whether or not this is any of the public's business that we should be talking about. It's kind of like what happened, you know, when the world started, everyone had an opinion about the slap heard around the world with Will Smith and Chris Rock. Sometimes things happen in celebrity culture that create a bigger conversation. Let's put it that way. And it's not so much about the nuances of this specific case, because I don't really give a crap about Jonah Hill, but more of like a bigger conversation around what does this mean about like relationship dynamics. But let me go back and actually try to explain what happened for anyone who like is like, who's Jonah Hill?
Wow.
Do you think, is he famous enough that, like, do you think there's people out there right now who are like listening to the show and like, I don't know who Jonah Hill is?
I think that Jonah Hill has been in enough movies, TVs, animated, that kind of thing where you've heard the name. You might not be able to put a face to it, but I feel like everyone's heard the name Jonah
Hill. Or if
Hill.
You've seen his face, you know him.
Yeah.
So he is, like, is he a household name? He's pretty, I think he's pretty close to a household
I'd
name.
I'd say he's a household
Moneyball,
name.
Moneyball, Don't Look Up. I mean, he's been in a bunch of the...
I'll text my mom and say, hey, mom, do you know who Jonah Hill is?
Mama Bach.
Yeah, hold on.
Debbie Bry, if you're listening right now, do you know who Jonah Hill is?
Hi, Debbie Bry.
It's a good litmus test. All right, so Jonah Hill's an actor, been around for a long time, comedian. He's been nominated for Oscar. I mean, I think he was nominated for an Oscar for Moneyball and for Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Successful actor. And over the weekend, his ex, who he was like 15 years older than, so there was already like a pretty big age gap. But she's a professional surfer and model. Her name's Sarah Brady. And she posted a series of text exchanges between her and her now ex for over a year. They've been broken up for a while, Jonah Hill. And in the slew of texts, they basically show that Hill is demanding of her to remove Instagram photos of herself in swimsuits, turn down modeling jobs, avoid casual and professional contact with male surfers, and forego friendships with women he deems unstable. And basically invoking their couple's therapist to convey the weight of his demands. So this was one of the quotes. Quote, if you need surfing with men, boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men to model, to post photos of yourself in a bathing suit, to post sexual pictures, friendships with women who are in unstable places, and from your wild recent past beyond getting a lunch or coffee or something respectful, I'm not the right partner for you, reads one of the texts. These are my boundaries for a romantic relationship or romantic partnership. And there's a lot more than where that comes from. And so you can debate whether or not she should have posted these. And in her defense, I guess I've seen since she now, because he's obviously the more famous of the two in her life since them breaking up, like he constantly is brought up to her.
Yeah.
Like people are constantly talking about him and bringing him up because they've dated and it was public. And she kind of got to the point where like she couldn't be okay without having the truth out there, because ultimately he was always going to be part of her past and she was going to be attached to him indefinitely. And she's also young. She's still only like in her early 20s. But so the conversation around this has been like using language like boundaries and this is my standards and you can take it or leave it. And like using like therapy speak to then be still controlling in a relationship and trying to control your partner's behavior. And, you know, and then there's some people like, I think this is totally, there's like, everyone has an opinion about basically sex, like either saying that he's totally fine. And, you know, if this is what the standards are, if you can't be on the same page, then you shouldn't be together at all, which is true. But also like, I think the thing that resonates for me is he knew she was a surfer when they started dating.
Yeah.
He knew she was a model when they started dating. And I think it comes to sometimes, and I don't necessarily want to make this about a men versus women thing and men do this to women, because I think that there's plenty of women who start dating men thinking that they'll change. And obviously that doesn't even broach the topic of same-sex relationships and how that works. But I think there is sometimes the things that attract us most to a person then becomes the things that we want to diminish and control once we are actually in a relationship with that person. Because we know what we were attracted to is what other people are attracted to, and our insecurity pops up to make that less.
Oh, yeah.
So that we can protect it and keep it as ours. And I have certainly been on the receiving end of that, of being a charismatic, loud, opinionated, you know, this thing that I think has been like men have been attracted to and then gotten into relationships with and then tried to like snuff out. And it's like, this is what you signed up for.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing that stuck out to me as far as this situation specifically, of this thing of wanting to date someone. And once you are dating them, the reason you wanted to date them, make sure no one else can have it.
Well, he uses the term, these are my boundaries. That's not what those are.
That's
those
not
are
what a boundary
conditions.
Is.
Those are rules. Those are, that is horrible behavior. And I don't care that she posted them, because we wouldn't care if this woman was posting her text messages about the guy that no one knew. This kind of behavior needs to be known and people need to be shown that this is who this person is. And if you are a person in this situation, how to relate, how to see the signs. And I mean, that's, I have no problem with people knowing it's him because he's acting like a total jackwad.
What? I mean, I don't know. Like, the whole celebrity side of it, because if it was just someone who was, if it was a nobody and they were just posting it, and I don't know, in the world of TikTok, I've certainly have seen people who are not celebrities have their relationship woes blow up and everyone, you know, you invite. I mean, that's the whole point of, like, the segment from Reddit that we do every once in a while on Fridays, which is Am I the Sphincter, of people airing their dirty their dirty laundry. Granted, it's usually anonymously, to have people weigh in on. And so you do, you know, the topic of doing it as a, but it gets elevated, obviously, once you're a celebrity. But I, you know, I would, if you have a thoughts on this, like I said, I debated whether or not to talk about this because I know online this is a very, very dominant conversation this week.
It's hot on the internet.
It's hot on the
social medias.
And lots of people have an opinion, but I wanted to weigh in just because, like I said, it's something that struck me reading it, regardless of the celebrity nature of it, of in relationships when this weird thing happens of the thing that you were attracted to becomes a thing that you don't want to shine anymore. And I think it's for fear of it being taken away from you.
Or outshining you.
Or outshining you. And I don't know, because it's interesting, because she clearly was doing all of the stuff that he said, these are my boundaries, before they started dating. She's an influencer, she's a model, she's a surfer. Like, her job is basically to be in a bathing suit.
Yeah. Like,
and from the last time I checked, not that I know a ton about surfing, pretty sure it's still a male-dominated sport. And so if you're going to be a professional or even an, you know, semi-pro surfer, you're going to be around a lot of men.
I want you to surf in a parka.
And I guess that's the thing. If he's like, these are my boundaries, it's like, all right, well, I guess we aren't going to be together. But then it layers in a whole bunch of dynamics about age and power, because he was definitely more famous and a lot older than her. But I don't know. If you have immediate thoughts on this, we'll keep it going through the next segment, but we got to take a break. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And I'm guessing we didn't get any. No one cares about the Jonah Hill conversation.
I guess not. But I will give an update on Mama Bach.
Okay.
I texted her and I said, without Googling, do you know who Jonah Hill is? And she said, the name sounds familiar, but no. Can I Google him now? I said, yes. And she Googled him and she said, no, explain. We're using you as a social experiment, Jackie Bach.
Isn't that, it's so funny, the expansive divide of pop culture now, of, you know, in trying to pick topics for this show, it certainly is, you know, gauging what people care about, what people want to hear about, why they come to this show, why they come to Civic Media, and this is what, you know, media companies, content creators in general are constantly trying to figure out. But it's like, because to try to find a relevant topic, because it is so, for me, this specific story of Jonah Hill and his ex-girlfriend and the text messages and stuff, like, I can't escape it.
Yeah.
When I'm on TikTok and Twitter and it's coming up.
Threads.
Threads now. And it's so it's coming up again and again and again and again. And then the amount of people who are like, who's Jonah Hill? Who is this person that has been, you know, nominated for Oscars in multiple, like some of the, like the biggest movies of the last 5 years? And that's fine. I mean, that's just kind of like how our culture is now. And I think how the, there is no, the decentralization of celebrity and how someone can have millions of followers and some people can be like, who? Who is that? Like, that's how I feel about Bad Bunny, who again is probably a name that multiple people listening right now is like, who is this person? And I kind of am like, who is this person? But they are, he is a Puerto Rican musician who is wildly popular. And I don't think I could name a single one of his songs. And I'll come across people on social media every once in a while who it's like, they have millions of followers. And I'm like, who is this person? But we're going to go to the phones quickly. Mark from the SAC, what say you?
Well, I think, you know, he's trying to control her life. That, and sometimes is what happened. This kind of brought to mind something happened to me. This is over 40 years ago now, coming back from a bus from, I was coming back from Superior, and she was coming back from a trip to the cities from Janesville. Back in the day, we were both roughly the same age, but we struck up a conversation on the bus. The bus picture, we kind of met at Eau Claire and kind of took a long time for the bus from Eau Claire to Madison back then because you're going through all the little burgs and all that. But her boyfriend was pretty upset about it at the time, and because we had corresponded for a while. Then she had to stop doing it because he was so upset that she was exchanging letters with me. That, so I, you know, that Dan, I respected her boundaries and, mm-hmm. Stop sending letters to her, but I mean that it's you have to have control of yourself and control of your, you know, be confident in yourself and it, then it shouldn't be a problem. But I'll kind of leave it at that because it was just that because we had, you know, even in just a few hours time we kind of struck up a real friendship and mm-hmm. then her partner at the time decided he didn't like that at all. So that, and they're planning on getting married, and she wanted to respect that. But I mean, it just is that.
But you weren't romantically interested. You just wanted a friend.
Well, I didn't know how it could go there at the time. I mean, that it could have gone another way, you know. But you never know. But he was pretty, you know, that I was willing to disrespect that as friendship. But he was, you know, he must have been picking something up from her. That because she wanted to correspond with me,
or maybe he's just just too insecure to quote unquote allow her to have a friendship with someone he didn't know who was a man. Either way,
yeah. Which that brings up a whole. Ooh. Thanks so much for the call, Mark.
Yep. You're welcome.
The overlapping but separate conversation of like, can men and women be friends?
Yes.
And I've always maintained, absolutely, because I have always had male friends. I've always had male friends who are straight. And granted, some of them, I think, probably did want to date me, and it mm-hmm. never happened. I'm guessing you've never wanted to date me, Greg.
No, but I've been really trying to get a Mike's game. This whole thing was a ruse for a while. Like, Samson, that tall drink of water needs to get to hugging.
But, and... I absolutely think that you can be friends with the opposite sex and have it be platonic, and that it's very, there's lots of value to that. But there is a lot of people out there who absolutely think no.
Well, I think also it's, you can also have a friend of whether whatever your orientation is, you can have a friend that you can be attracted to, like in a way that's like, it's like, I'm not going to try to ruin a relationship. Be like, this is my friend. They're cute. I date them, but I'm not going to because I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like it's all these things that go into it. It's like, you know, I personally think I think that men and women can be friends. I don't think that's a problem, but I think the people who don't just have to deal with their own problems. That's very deep, I must say. Sometimes I get very deep on the show. Sorry, my mother was texting me again. So,
any updates? Does she have thoughts on the Jonah Hill situation?
No, she has none.
Does none.
She has none.
Googled him. Probably all of the news hits of the last 24 hours are about this situation, and she's just like, no thoughts.
No, thank you. I'm going to go back to my war documentaries.
All right, when we come back, Connor Kaloya is going to be here. He is the chief operating officer of Milwaukee Pro Soccer. If you have questions about the team, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. Keep a close
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Greg Bach on the board today, and I know you are especially excited about the next
guest. I'm so excited.
Because you are a big football fan.
I love the football. Football is life.
And we were very excited that a professional soccer team is coming to Milwaukee in 2025. So far, aptly named Milwaukee Pro Soccer, but that is going to change. And so we are so excited to have Connor Kaloya, who is the chief operating officer for Milwaukee Pro Soccer, here with us today. How you doing, Connor?
I'm great. It's great to be here.
So, Milwaukee Pro Soccer, how's it been going? Yeah.
It's good. Everything's great. I think you were correct that Milwaukee Pro Soccer, we may need a more creative name than that. And so we're in that public process right now. And, we're excited to bring professional soccer back to Milwaukee. We're excited to bring USL Championship. It'll be the highest level of pro soccer in the state. And we're working to do that in the spring of 2025.
And so I know Greg knows more about this, but as far as the hierarchy of American soccer and the different leagues, because I know there's Forward in Madison with the Flamingos. Obviously, the Wave is an indoor soccer team. I've seen them. And so what is kind of the landscape of professional soccer and what's available for people to watch, men and women's, in the U.S. right now?
Yeah, great question. So everything in soccer is through the U.S. Soccer Federation. So everything is sanctioned through the U.S. Soccer Federation. They actually have different tiers. Major League Soccer is the top tier. There's 28 on its way to, I think, 30 teams in Major League Soccer. USL Championship is in the second tier. That's where Milwaukee would fit. 24 teams in the league across the country, markets of a million plus. And then Forward Madison, they're in the third tier. 12 markets in that league across the country. That's markets of maybe 500,000 to a million people. So Milwaukee will be the highest level in the state. Markets of a million plus, playing against teams like Sacramento, Louisville, Indianapolis, Detroit, some good regional rivals, and truly a national league. And it's different than baseball. It's not, minor league. In baseball, you go from A ball to double A to triple A on your way up. It's a little different in soccer. These are true professionals. This is what these guys do for a living. There's some players that might be 16, 17 years old on their way up. There's others that'll be 32, 33, and this is their career and what they've done for a long time, whether it be overseas or in Major League Soccer.
And so is that the same for the U.S. Soccer Federation that mirrors for women as well as far as the tier, the different leagues?
Yeah. That's a great question and something that we're engaged in as well. On the women's side, there's only one professional league in the U.S. currently. That's the NWSL. But the USL has announced the USL Super League, which will also be a first division women's league. That plans to start in the fall of 24 with eight teams. And Madison has announced to be kind of in the second wave of that. Madison Women's Pro Soccer, we would be joining that. We're working on some stadium renovations to allow that to happen, but Madison would be in the second wave of that. So it's a little different on the women's side than the men's side right now. But I would expect over the next 10 to 15 years, you will see that women's tier populate, that you'll have more than just a first tier for sure.
Absolutely. Our guest is Connor Kaloya, who is the chief operating officer of Milwaukee Pro Soccer. Greg, do you have a question?
Absolutely. Connor, what is the process of just like you look at Milwaukee and you say, yes, let's do it? Because I remember you making the announcement. You made the announcement last year, wasn't it? Like late last year or was it early this year?
Yeah, it was October 20th of last year. But Greg, I know that seems like a long time ago, but we've been on this for like over 5 years. Maybe 6 years. I don't even remember at this time, but we were working on Milwaukee actually before Forward Madison even played a game here in Madison. Wow. So Forward Madison started playing April of 2019. So it's been a long process, and it's not as simple as just being like, hey, Milwaukee's cool. Let's bring a soccer team there.
There's been a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish it was. For better or for worse, we looked at about 40 different sites across the city and in the suburbs. To have a pro soccer team, you really just need, well, you need three things. You need a franchise, you need a stadium, and you need people that'll come watch the game. We think Milwaukee's a great market for it, so we think we have the people. We've secured a franchise from the USL. And now we just have to get that stadium built in the Iron District. And so it took us a while to locate a site. We did locate that site and acquire the site. So we own that site, and development has started on the housing on that site. And eventually it'll be an 8,000 seat stadium, a 200 key hotel room, about 170 affordable or workforce housing units, and some retail, restaurant, and entertainment, all as part of a larger development in the Iron District.
Which is so exciting.
It's so exciting.
So one of the things you just said, Connor, that stuck out to me is the one of the three things that you need is the people. And so what does the market research look like to prove, to justify and prove that there is a desire for this? That there's a calling for it.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I mean, we've done real research, but there's a lot of tangential pieces that just kind of speak to you as well. If you look across the U.S.,
you
looked at Twitter. We looked at the nearly 200,000 people that have voted on the name of the team, and we're like, hey, I think this will work. But no, there's a lot of, I mean, Milwaukee has such a rich soccer history. In the 1950s and 60s, it was one of the best soccer markets in the U.S., and it's kind of fallen off a little bit for it did over the years, but it's still a great soccer market. The Barons were a supporters group that was formed in 2014 with the sole purpose of bringing pro soccer to Milwaukee. They had over 5,000 members, and there wasn't even a team. And they had 5,000 members that were part of this group to bring pro soccer. So hopefully, it'll be about 11 years since they started that they'll accomplish that goal of bringing pro soccer to Milwaukee. But beyond that, if you look across the U.S., you look at major markets, Milwaukee's one of the largest markets without outdoor spectator professional soccer. And there's not only is it a large market, but there is a really strong playing soccer population, but there's a really strong fan interest. I mean, you just look at the World Cup and the watch parties across the city. On some days there was more than 50,000 people out watching the U.S. men's team out in public. So it just, this is we're totally convinced, and we've seen it since we've launched in October, the energy and excitement around it, that it'll be a great pro soccer market.
Absolutely.
So now that we're in 2023, we got a couple of years still, and you have the site, you've acquired it. What are the next steps? I know you, I've been very much part of the naming campaign.
He's voting a lot.
I vote. It's important to get out and vote. But
vote early, vote often. Exactly. Like Chicago.
At least in this one, we can do that. We can talk. We can brag about that. But how, like, you're spacing it out over the next 2 years or less than 2 years now, I guess, because you're going to be spring. Like, what are those steps? What are the things? Okay, you got the site, then breaking ground, then naming, then kit design, and all those things. Like, how do you space that out over the next couple of years?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, the next kind of wave of developments will be groundbreaking, and right around that time, you'll see an actual. The plan would be around that time to be rolling out an actual crest and logo and identity for the team. From there, we start building a full-time staff to have staff on the ground and building, kind of continuing to build the community excitement. In about 12 to 18 months out, we'll build a technical staff. So the soccer side of the staff, we'll start building out who's going to oversee and run that part of the team and start recruiting talent and building a fan base, building a team, and being ready to open hopefully in the the spring of 25. So, you know, we've got a roadmap of what we need to do between now and in April of 25. And, you know, but the next big pieces later this year would be getting a shovel in the ground and rolling out the name of the team and then starting to build out the staff.
So speaking of the name of the team, we're down to the top 20. I'm trying to count quickly because I have them all in front of me right now.
I think there's 16 in front 16. Of you, and we're trying to whittle that down to 10. So we changed it up the last round. Rather than doing the bracket style, you could just tell us your top five. And then we're going to, you know, we've got that top five. Well, we've taken the 16 and we've kind of got it down. We're looking at those top 10 names right now.
Trust me, Connor, I've told you my top five many times.
Thank you.
Do you have to do it? Can you do it daily or how often can you vote, Greg?
You can vote as much as you want.
Can you? Is that true, Connor?
Yeah, I think as I thought it might, we might have had it on daily, but
I don't vote like five times a day.
You can vote frequently. I think it was daily that you had to do it. And there are some things you need to submit, so it's not like, you know, robo voting.
Yeah.
And so is there any like super delegates when it comes to voting for this team? Like, are there people who work?
We had to get political with this, didn't we? We try not to be political at soccer.
But you know what I mean? Like, no, is there anyone on the marketing team that like their vote like weighs like a little bit more?
Well, I think so. As a member of the ownership group, ultimately ownership will decide.
Yes.
But I do think one of the worst things that could happen in pro soccer is the owner can pick the team name, pick the colors, and pick the logo. Like that. This is truly the fans are guiding us. The fans are telling us what to do, and we got to listen to the fans. And we won't have any success as we launch this team if we don't listen to the fans. So the process has been amazingly enlightening. I think some of the names we thought were going to be good, the people are telling us they're not so good. and I think some of the names that we didn't think were going to be good, the people are saying, hey, you should take another look at this. So there is not a superdelegate. There's not a veto power. To be clear, this is an advisory poll. It's not a, you know, whatever you pick, we're going with.
What?
We didn't want to be like Bodie McBoatface or some of those those names that were out there earlier that people – that's why it's advisory. We have to, you know, put some guardrails on this thing.
Yeah.
It is – I mean, we are seriously heavily leaning in to what the fan input is, and what we're going to do is we're going to take some of these names and actually start building out some identities.
Can you tell us any of the names that didn't make that got submitted that didn't make it to the top 64? So we have.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you have like an after hours show, we can put some of those out there. I don't know that in the middle of the day it's the right time to be sharing some of those, but yeah, there was some that's like, hey, that's creative. Thanks, thanks for playing. But we want kids to come to our games too, and we can't use that name.
Milwaukee Pro Soccer's woke, apparently. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we are family friendly.
Family friendly is important.
Family friendly.
Well, I'm excited to see because then obviously from the name will come like the mascot. Because my favorite, I think this is one of your favorites too so far, is it was your favorite Goodland United.
Correct. That's my running.
Which
one.
Is great.
I love that one.
But I also feel like that doesn't necessarily, like that makes it very open ended for a mascot. Like what would a mascot for Goodland United be? Or Cream City, or a lot of these like don't necessarily. I think Milwaukee Barons is maybe one.
Yeah,
Milwaukee Tall Boys is pretty obvious of what the mascot could be. But is there like, is that the next level of the marketing? Like once there's the name, is there going to be another round of voting for like what is the mascot? Who is the mascot? What's his personality? Are we going to get it gritty?
Oh, we love we love votes. So yeah, we're gonna keep voting on everything. No, but. Likely there could be a name, the mascot, something like that. I think the next step is to figure out 3 to 4, maybe 5 good buckets, start building out kind of what an identity would look like in soccer, your crest, which is on the chest of your jersey. That's where it all starts. And so the focus will in short order here will be on the crest. But yeah, I'm sure we'll have a mascot, in Madison with our team in Madison Forward Madison, we are the team's named Forward Madison, but our icon is the flamingos. It's really challenging to own a live flamingo unless you're a zoo. So we couldn't own a live flamingo. So instead we have a couple dairy cows. So we have Leonella Bessie and Rose Cowbell, which were both named via fan votes.
Oh, that's fun.
Soccer appropriate cow names. And yeah, so I think there's probably more voting down the line once we figure out an identity.
Well, we love it. I'm so excited. I'm kind of a soccer noob, but every 4 years.
Oh, we're going.
I know. We're going. Greg's excited.
Great.
So check out MilwaukeeProSoccer.com for all the information on where to find them on social media. Get your vote in for naming the club. Follow along as everything progresses. And Connor, we'll have to have you back as the mascot comes out, as recruiting the rest of the team comes out, because we are very excited.
We appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to talking more as the process rolls out.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot,
all right. Have a great day, Connor.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
all right,
guys.
We're going to take one more break and come back and talk about the Laughing Tap is back from a break, right?
Heck yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Come laugh, don't you know everyone wants to laugh? Ah, ah. My dad said be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. That was really fun.
It was a lot of fun. Connor was great.
Connor was great.
Let's keep having him on like every 2 weeks until at least we're like, you know what? Thanks for helping. Here's some tickets. I don't know.
I'm sure he doesn't have other things to do managing multiple.
They don't even have a name yet. What are they doing?
Yeah, I know. But yes, I agree with you that Goodland United is.
It just sounds great.
It also, yeah.
But here's the funny thing, though. United, I looked this up, United tends to apply to a group that two clubs join. But that's fine.
That's fine.
But we're united in the good land.
So this is what, I didn't want to read it off with our limited time with him, but this is what's left for anyone who wants to go vote. And you can go still vote at MilwaukeeProSoccer.com/name the club. So it's Milwaukee Hogs, Milwaukee Tall Boys, Milwaukee Barons, 1846 Milwaukee, Fresh Coast, I don't really like that one, Old Milwaukee, Lake Effect, Cream City, Milwaukee Industrial, 414, just Milwaukee, Milwaukee Iron, Goodland United, Milwaukee Foundry, yeah. Brew City, Milwaukee Brigade. What are your other ones that you like?
I liked... I didn't mind Foundry. I liked MKE. Was it?
I don't think that's left.
Goodland United, the only one I care about. Like I vote, and then the ones that are just. I think I voted for Tall Boys once, but I don't like the beer reference personally.
Mm.
It's just for me. I like the Goodland United. It sounds cool. I can already think.
Sounds
of
like
kit.
A soccer team.
Yes, I can think of a kit. I can think of songs, chants, the whole thing. It's inspiring, Kristen Bry.
All right. Well, not that you're refreshed because you have like three jobs, but Laughing Tap has been on a break. And this weekend, you guys are back.
We're back, baby.
Does that mean you also have an open mic tonight?
Correct. We have an open mic this evening. And we're supposed to be having a show at Central, but if it's rain, it might get rained out. So we'll just say this right now. The open mic is happening tonight. That starts at 7:30. If you want to perform, come sign up at 7 o'clock. But we have a show this weekend, two shows. Chris Higgins headlining Friday and Saturday at the Laughing Tap. Very, very funny man. He's been featured on Vice, been featured, I believe, on Comedy Central. Very funny, very nice guy. He says it in his comedy. He's like, he looks like a golden retriever that became a real boy. He's just a big, big, huggable dude. And I got a clip here for y'all to listen to. Take a listen. I think you'll enjoy him, and he'll make a lot of sense after this.
I did dabs today. This is hard for me right now. Right? You guys ever done a dab before? Not like the dance, like hash. Yeah, have you guys done that? No? All right, the people who said yeah have weed on them. Those are just the rules. I don't make them up. You got to be enthusiastic about weed if you're doing a dab. Like, it's the scariest way to get high. Like, for those of you who don't know what a dab is, it's like a hash, it's a concentrated form of marijuana. And what you do is you take out a blowtorch and you weld it directly to your brain. Like, it is terrifying. Like I was like, I got a show later, I want to get high. My friend was like, do you want to get industrially high? Like, afterwards we'll make some swords. We have everything here. Like, I didn't think weed was a gateway drug, and then I did a dab, and I was like, no, yeah, we're f***ing going somewhere here. I'm about to become a blanket. Like, this is, you've melted me. I'm boneless. Like, this is heroin. Like, we turned weed, and maybe don't legalize it. We've gone too far.
So that's just an idea of Chris right there. He's just such a nice guy, so funny, and just very cool.
Do you ever book people who are not nice people?
Oh, all the time.
Oh really?
No. Honestly, we talk about that a lot at the club, and we talk about that with headliners. We're going on 4 years old towards the end of the year.
Wow.
We have never had anyone who's just like kind of like busted through the door like, this is me, and get me my stuff, and I don't care.
Give me my green M&Ms.
Yeah.
Out all of them from the rest of the bag.
We have people with varying personality types. Some people are really outgoing and want to have fun with you. Some people are like, hey, they show up, they do their gig, and then they go back to the hotel, which is totally fine. I have no problem with that. But everyone who walks through the door is always professional. They're fun. They're kind. And it's never a problem. And we're very lucky to have that come through the door every time. So if you want to get tickets to see Chris, laughingtap.com for all your ticket needs. The tickets are available. Like I said, one show Friday, one show Saturday, and the tickets this month are for all shows are $15 at the Laughing Tap.
Oh,
yeah.
Why the discount?
Some are special, you know.
All right.
That also includes the Barons Brothers shows if those tickets were available.
Has the next one gone on sale yet?
No, it won't go on sale until this one has happened, which is end of this month.
So end of this month. So this, the last Thursday, is it the third or fourth Thursday of the month?
This month is going to be the fourth Thursday of the month.
So fourth Thursday of the month. So basically check in early August.
Correct.
For the August show.
Correct.
If you want to see the Barons Brothers
comedy
show.
Yep.
Comedy show.
Yep.
Comedy special.
It's called the Barons Brothers Comedy Hour.
Comedy Hour. Yeah. Thank you.
And so, yeah. But yeah, Chris is this weekend. And then next week, folks, guess what? Chastity Washington is headlining. I'll talk more about her next week. But I will be featuring.
Ooh.
I'll be performing, and it'll be fun, and we're going to have a good time. Chastity is one of the funniest people on earth, kindest people on earth. Just released a comedy special on Prime Video. So, oh, by the way, happy Prime Day.
You bought anything?
No. I looked at electronic drum sets, but nothing serious.
In the 2 minutes that we have left, I almost started the show like this, but then it felt like it was not that important. But who steals a plant?
Oh, yeah.
My mom planted, this is how I'm going to end the show. My mom, who's adorable, gave us this plant that had there was a flower in it. But she also put this little cute sign in it that said baby in bloom. And it sat on our porch, literally right outside our front door. And I was doing such a good job watering it every day. And I came outside this morning and Mike was watering. And he goes, did you move that plant? And I go, no. And so someone just took it. Who steals a plant? Who steals a heavy potted plant in the middle of the night? And he was like, it was probably just dumb kids, which made my mom feel even worse. She's like, I'd like to think that someone who was looking for a gift for their mom is someone who stole it.
Oh, Debbie Bry.
And they couldn't afford something else. But now that is what we will have to buy on Prime Day is like a Ring camera. In case we won't replace.
I thought you were
going to
say another plant. You're like, no, there will be surveillance in the Bry household.
It's just like, who steals a plant? It was so upsetting. I was already irritable this morning, and that just really put me in a bad mood. So I hope it's not smashed somewhere in the middle of our neighborhood. But so yes, that's what we will be spending our money on for Prime Day is a ring camera. All right. Well, not to end it on downer, but don't steal plants. All right.
And come to the Laughing Tap.
And come to the Laughing Tap. And come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. when we're going to do the show all over again. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show and listening. And this has been As Goes Wisconsin.